I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form.
By searching Hanson Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G.
Presented by U First Credit Union.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Scotty. What are you doing?
What did you see in the 90s?
What did you just tweet out?
Well, it's just like, I saw you lining up. I'm like, man, my guy's going for the gram here. Something for the Insta. And so I thought it'd be fun to get a picture of you taking a picture of something for the Insta.
I was taking a picture of my banana because I've got a banana situation in my house.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you my banana situation?
That's a very Inception-like feel to it.
Can you?
I called it Inception 2.
Lloyd, I didn't even see that he said Inception. Yeah.
Can you and Lloyd have a little bit of patience while I tell you this?
Sure.
All right. Number one, whether you're on Instagram or on Twitter, I just sent out a video or a picture of my banana. So 975 Hans.
Oh, that's my new heavy.
And you can go you can go see this banana that I brought into work today.
Yeah.
Okay. The banana that I brought is perfectly ripe.
Like, I don't know, man. That looks a little overcooked.
No. That to me is the perfectly ripe banana. A little bit brown, a little bit mushy. And the story goes that, Scotty, I love bananas.
Okay.
But for some reason, I'm slightly allergic to an underripe banana. Like, when it's got a little bit of green and I pop that thing open and I eat that banana, my mouth itches.
Really?
Yeah, for a good 30 minutes to an hour. Just itches. And I just want to get my nails in on the inside of my cheeks and scratch and take
out a toothbrush. Did you already delete this?
It's sent out again, sorry.
And take a toothbrush and, like, scratch my tongue. So I like a ripe banana. Here's the problem. All of my family likes bananas. And so I never get a banana that ripens to the right point that I can enjoy the banana I want to enjoy. Because everybody just eats the bananas.
Oh, okay.
And it never hits the ripeness. Well, today, as I was going to leave the house, I looked on the counter, and I was like, oh, man. And, you know, the movies where it's like, oh, the holy music and the light shining on. And it was like, that's the perfect ripe banana. And I was so excited because I just don't get ripe bananas, perfectly ripe bananas in my house.
Would you say that's a pretty good size banana?
It's a good size banana.
You got some serious mittens.
I'm not.
Just finding that out for the first time?
No, I knew that, but good Lord, that's make that banana look like a mini.
This picture you sent me, it makes me look really fat. I think it might be the angle.
It's 100%. Okay, number one, no.
Or it might be because I am really fat.
No.
Well, I had a chair break on me yesterday, Scotty. I'm not exactly feeling real good about myself today. Getting calls from ex-teammates that are like, hey, I heard what happened.
Oh, no. Word got out?
Yeah. I had two calls yesterday. I heard what happened. What's going on? How much do you weigh right now?
Oh,
like, dude, it's not about how much I weigh, dude. I was like, I think that...
It's a bad chair.
I think Duff got me a bad chair.
Yeah, I think Duff set you up.
I think Duff saw it halfway through the
like, oh, let's give this to Hans.
Oh, when Duff saw me laying on my back, too, he was having...
Oh, Duff saw it, too?
Oh, yeah, he was having a good old time. Oh,
jeez.
All honesty, I do appreciate those guys setting things up yesterday. I just... It was horrible when the leg on the chair broke, and I fell straight back and hit my head pretty good.
Because when, when you're trying to make banana bread and you're making all those bananas go bad, like that looks like a banana bread banana right there.
The one in my hand?
Yeah.
No, man, that's a good – that's too ripe for you? That's too
– That's probably a little too ripe for me.
Oh, man, I think that's – and I just ate it, and it was creamy.
Happy. Really happy for you and your banana.
Well, I am too, Scotty. Made my day.
Well, it's draft day, folks. NBA draft coming up later tonight. All right, Hans, I'm going to do, let's play a game much like what we did with Ben Anderson the other day. Probable, what was it, probably or unlikely? Not likely or unlikely.
I don't think so or probably.
Okay.
Don't think so or probably.
Rudy Gobert gets traded today.
Don't think so.
Okay. Jazz buy into the second round. Or buy a pick. Could be late first, could be second round.
Probably.
All right. Bojan Bogdanovic gets traded.
Don't think so.
Mike Conley gets traded.
Probably.
A package that would include Royce O'Neal.
Today. You're talking about today.
We're talking about today.
Probably.
The Lakers acquire Kyrie Irving.
Probably.
DeAndre Ayton is a Piston.
Don't think so.
Really?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. Let me throw that one at you.
I think so.
DeAndre Ayton as a Piston.
Maybe not today, but
down the line.
But down the line, yeah. Of the current top 10 slated picks, so teams 1 through 10, that order, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. This is more of an over-under question, I guess. 6.5, the amount of scheduled picks are actually taken by those teams.
Over.
Okay, so you don't think it's going to be
not as much.
An exciting first 10 picks?
I don't think so. And Adrian Wojnarowski basically came out and told us what the first three picks look like. I know that there is some speculation out there that there could be heavy movement after that, but... I tend to believe that maybe because this draft feels more unpredictable, but I thought what Kurt Heelan told us a little bit earlier in the show holds a lot of weight, Scotty, and that is next year's draft is perceived to be a very deep, very heavy draft.
Yeah.
So I kind of wonder if people are going to kind of stay put, hang low, and if there's going to be big moves, like if this was 2023 with what we know might be coming up in 2023, according to Kurt Heelan and others that we've talked to, then I'd say, yeah, I could see fireworks. I just don't know if there's a piece that's out there that is going to really inspire, because that'd be 3.5. Essentially, that'd be 4. You're asking me that if there's going to be 4 or more.
Yes.
And I don't think so. No. I don't think so. I think we might see 2. Might see 3.
The only reason I think it could hit is it just seems like there's a lot of teams out there in that top 10. Once you get past number three, that are saying that you're, you know, you go to Hoops Hype or you go to any NBA rumor mill, and it seems like this team's willing to part with their pick, and this team's willing to part with their pick. And that could be very well true, but you also need two to tango.
Yeah.
And so how many people are willing to jump up and take those picks at 4, 5, 6, and 7? And so I do think that there's a real willingness in this draft.
Yeah.
There's a strong willingness from a lot of teams to move out of that top 10.
Yep.
I just don't know if there's going to be enough people that want to move up to get those picks.
Well, Scott, if you called me and you were like, hey, Hans, I've got this incredible go-kart that I got to get off my hands. And I'm like, oh, yeah, tell me about the go-kart. Oh, man, it's so nice. And, you know, it's probably worth $10,000, but yeah, I need to move this car. I got to get rid of it. I got to get rid of this go-kart.
Can't afford it anymore.
And I'd be like, why are you so anxious to move the car? Okay, well, what would you take for the go-kart? And eventually, our negotiations are going to go sideways.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm going to be like, he's way too anxious. And there's a reason you got to get out of that go-kart. And there's a reason I'm looking at like, what's he doing with that? That doesn't make sense to me. That's how I feel like this draft is. If I've got a nice trading piece, if I've got a Mike Conley and I could package it with a Royce O'Neal, and, you know, I've got somebody on the line that's like, hey, this 8 pick, you know, it's weighing on us. We'd like to make a move for it. You know, but we need to get something out of this 8 pick. Well, why are you trying to get out of that 8 pick? And boy, you sure are anxious about it, because there's been so, like you mentioned, everywhere you read, it's like past three, guys are willing to open up those picks. Well, why are you so willing? Because I don't think you're spotting a ton of talent. Like, well, that's immediate talent that could come in and help us.
Yeah.
So
the only way that
it makes me gun shy for this draft.
The only way it'd work is a team like, and like nobody's going to trade their top 10 pick for Mike Conley, but if you're a team, let's just use him for an example. If you're the Jazz and you realize that those, you might lose production from going to Mike Conley to a rookie that's available at number 5, but you also are going to get somebody a lot cheaper, and it's going to give you a lot more financial flexibility to get from underneath that contract. And so people will be like, all right, you want to move that pick? All right, well, you're going to have to take on a bad contract to move that pick. Now, that contract's going to expire here in 2 years, but if you want to get out of the top 10, we can provide a path to make that happen for you.
The other reason that I'm hesitant, you asked me, do I believe that the Jazz will buy in to the draft? I tend to believe that that's more likely.
I do too.
But I was listening to David Locke talk about this. We'll have David on, here in about
2:05. Yep.
It's about a half hour. We'll have David on and be able to pick his brain on this a little bit. But
2:30. Yeah, sorry.
He went through the teams that might be in cap trouble that would need the money, but really just don't need the money. And it was kind of an extensive list of teams that maybe you could go to and attempt to like buy a pick, because it's like, oh, we'll see. We see you've got this $35 million cap bill. We'll give you $4 million for this 48th pick. And as he was saying, there's just not a lot of teams that makes a ton of sense for.
Yeah.
Or with, that doesn't mean it won't happen. I still believe it's going to happen somehow, but I don't know which team that pick would potentially be bought from.
All right, coming up next, Good, the Bad, the Ugly. We'll also make our announcement for number 50 in our top 60 and 60 hands. We'll be 10, we're 10 down. 10 down, 50
oh my
to go.
Gosh, man.
Number 50 announced coming up next.
Can you believe that?
Live here at Tim Daly, Nissan and Murray, 4528 South State Street, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Watch the breakdown.
It's the 8th annual Top 60 and 60.
3, 2, 1.
60 and 60.
It's go time.
Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah.
60 and 60.
As voted on by the local media and you, the fans. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60. Weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. On your home for the best college football coverage in Utah, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Woo! Woo!
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Bobby Brown, that's a nice blast from the past right there. Before he got Whitney Houston all going in the wrong direction.
In what way?
Drugs, Hans. It was drugs.
Yeah, I will say I will never forgive him for that, because Wendy was an angel. She was an angel.
Yeah, I know. I know. Whitney was an angel. He took Whitney from us. I
had no idea.
That voice.
I don't know. I was going to make sure, Lloyd. You've been kind of running a lot of people that have passed through the mud today. I didn't know if Whitney would be one of those.
No, Whitney, that voice was unbelievable.
Was she dating Bobby Brown during the movie that she did with Kevin Costner?
I believe so, yes.
Was it The Guardian?
The
Protector?
The
Bodyguard.
I know you're just making up names.
The Bodyguard.
There you
go. Come on, come on.
I'm not sure that's it.
The Cleveland Guardians.
The Bodyguard of the Galaxy.
Oh my gosh, the Cleveland Guardians. You know, that one.
Oh yeah. Did you like that movie?
The
Guardian. No, I'm sorry, Bodyguard.
The Bodyguard? Oh yeah. Yes. Oh, heck yeah. You kidding me? I was so in love with her.
Kevin Costner, man. He just needs to be on a horse, because anytime he tries to do anything else, the dude can't act his way out of a paper bag. Yeah,
when he pulled out the samurai sword and acted all suave with it, I was like, all right, that's a little dorky. But no.
See, he made it work, though, because he didn't talk a lot. He didn't talk a lot. He was very quiet.
I don't know, man. There was no real chemistry between the two of them. Like, it kind of felt like Gene Hackman and Barbara Hershey and Hoosiers. Like, it's just like, no, this isn't working.
You have a point. Like, when he's trying to explain to the Native Americans that the Tatanka have run through, and he's trying to do the buffalo thing, and like, that's all. That's Kevin Costner.
Yes. Yeah, that's Kevin Costner.
But man, I just love Scotty. I love on the big screen. Love stories to me are still the best.
All right, let's get to it. It is number 50 in our top 60 in 60. Here we go.
Now let's get this party started.
This is the top 60 in 60 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 college football season. And now it's time for today's selection as voted on by the local sports media and you, the fan. BYU's offensive line has been dominant over the last several seasons, and our next selection is a player that many believe will help bolster that line in 2022. Checking in at number 50 from Brigham Young University, 6'8", 315-pound offensive lineman, Harris LeChance. Brigham Young University head coach, Kalani Sitake.
Harris LeChance, big-time old lineman for us that can play the guard and tackle position, can play left and right, extremely physical, had some injury issues last year, but is looking really healthy right now, had a great spring. Looking forward to seeing him dominate the line of scrimmage with his teammates. Very versatile and athletic, and great footwork for a big guy.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. Top 60 and 60 on 97.5, 1280, The Zone.
Back we go to the offensive line. Hans Harris LeChance. Mm-hmm. The videos have been posted. Comes in at number 50 for the BYU Cougars in our top 60 and 60.
Excited for Harris. This is such a tough one, Scotty, because you were just with me at BYU Media Day, and we know what the problem is. You know, it's a good problem to have, but when you bring in Kingsley Suimataea, and you've got Harris, who has come back from the injury, but he's dealt with some injury. He's going to have an uphill battle. The film that I'm sending out, and I'm sending out two videos on Harris. I'm sorry. Yesterday I got caught up, and I didn't send out the Zamaya Vaughn video, so I just sent out the Zamaya Vaughn, the number 51. So you can look at that, but you can also look at the Harris LeChance videos that I put together. And I've got him on two run plays driving a Utah defensive lineman out, and then I've got him on one pass play showing what he's able to do. And by the way, the reason I take Utah film when I've got an opportunity is because they're going against some of the best defensive linemen in the country. So yeah. I'd like to show the high level of defensive line play against what these guys can do. And you see what Harris is doing in that film. And Harris LeChance and that BYU offensive lineman are the absolute reason they beat the University of Utah. And it's funny because now I've reviewed that film a couple of times looking at BYU players and getting their cuts. And that offensive line just dominated it. Harris LeChance had an amazing game. So go watch the film. You'll see why Harris is number 50. And understand, right now, Harris is not a starter. And you don't have to be a starter to be in our 60 and 60 because right now you could probably, and Kingsley is not in the 60 and 60 because he does not have a piece of college film. And the reason Scotty and I can say he's probably going to start is because we watch spring ball and we talk to people. And so I think Harris is going to have a hard time getting on the field. He'll get in rotation. We talked to Coach Funk yesterday. Coach Funk said, yeah, I got to find a way to, got to find a way to rotate him. And so he's got to find a way to rotate. He got to find a way to work him in.
And we joked a little bit about, and I thought you had some really interesting questions though with Coach Funk about trying to develop that rotation and how he's going to split up things in fall camp and how it's going to play out to the point where he said, but you know, we're going to get a week or two into this. And then finally I got to go with my five guys. Like we got to get it zeroed in.
Yeah.
And that's going to be tough.
I'm not saying that it's set in stone because it's not. It is not set in stone. I know a lot of people love to say, oh, it's coach speak or oh, blah, blah, blah. They know exactly what they're doing. They know who the starter is. In this case, I think they have a really good idea. Blake Freeland's not going anywhere.
No. Nope.
He's playing the left tackle position until he's injured. He's the guy. On the right side, it's kind of expected that Kingsley is the dog. He played really good in spring ball. You know, both of them are one false step away from some reason they've got to be off the field. So you want to keep working. It's just that job isn't completely won. It feels like it is. Harris can still go take that start. But if not, Harris is still going to see 20 snaps a game.
Yeah, yeah, he'll get plenty of time out there.
He'll see 20, maybe,
and he'll
30
have,
snaps
and,
a game.
And according to, you know, the coaching staff, he's got a week, maybe 10 days in camp to try to steal that job away or get him that job. But it's going to be tough.
And
how are they able to hold on to these guys, by the way? Like, honestly, Kingsley shows up, and once you get through spring, if I'm Harris LeChance, in this current landscape of college football, aren't you kind of floating out an opportunity to maybe look around and see what else is out there?
So I think he's coming into his COVID junior season. Let me just check this, Scotty.
And by the way, I love it when kids stay. I'm not encouraging him, but in this day and age, we've seen guys when they kind of see the writing on the wall and they're thinking, I might not get out there as much as I'd like to. I might not be a starter. Then they're like, all right, well, maybe it's time to go somewhere else.
So he's a COVID junior. So it's a really great point. I'll tell you why. So you're a COVID junior. Let's say you get 30 reps a game. You put some good film together, but the two bookends stay healthy. Blake and Kingsley stay healthy.
Yeah.
And so you're repping in your rotational. I don't. Harris measures well. You know, he's 6'8", probably 325 now, 330. I don't know. I saw him yesterday. He's big. But I know he's 6'8". So he could look at that and he'd say, all right, where do I rank? Where do I sit? if Blake Freeland enters into the draft, then I could say to myself, okay, I think I can grab that position, or potentially I could grab that position and get that start. If you don't feel like you project to grab that position and get that start, you move your COVID senior year, and you go take 99% of the snaps. And because Harris LeChance, I think, is an NFL tackle.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You definitely got to go.
Yes, I project him as an NFL tackle. He absolutely has all the measurables to be an NFL tackle. And he's got good feet. He's got really good feet. I really like the pass set that I put together against Mika Tafua. Mika puts the heat on him. Mika puts three or four different moves on him. And then you see that LeChance gets Mika's shoulder and shoves him open, and Jaren Hall's able to release and throw a touchdown pass. So go look at the film. You'll see what I'm talking about with Harris against a very high-level defensive end, Mika Tafua.
All right, let's get to it. Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly brought to you by Zero Res. No soaps, no harsh chemicals. Clean those carpets right now. You can get three rooms clean for $33 per room, and the fourth room is yours for free. Some minimums apply, so search Zero Res online for details. But hands the good, the NBA draft coming up tonight. We've talked to many people, including Kurt Heelan. And let's be honest, whether it's the Jazz or whoever, we all anticipate some fireworks tonight.
Well, it's weird that it's still quiet. I thought for sure we'd have something break during this show. I thought that we'd hear something break during Jake and Ben. And then once I got in here and the news hadn't broke that the Jazz have packaged Mike Conley and Royce O'Neal for the 12th overall and exceptions and protected this. Like, I thought we'd have that by now. And every minute that goes by that we don't have it, it makes me wonder if it's not going to happen. Now, you made the point. It happened in the middle of the draft. And that's very likely. That could happen tonight. There could be big fireworks just before or during. But it just seems strange to me. I thought we'd, if it was groundbreaking and blockbuster, I thought we'd have it by now. But we haven't seen groundbreaking blockbuster trades right in the middle of the draft. We've seen that
a lot of times.
So it's very possible. It just feels less and less likely it's going to happen as time goes on.
Yeah, we'll, by the way, we'll have complete draft coverage tonight beginning at 3 o'clock at JCW's. Unrivaled will be there from 3 to 6. And then from 6 through as long as we need to be on the air, Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, Tim Lacombe will all be down there getting you ready for today's NBA draft. There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
This kind of a scary situation. Vince Carter had his home broken into, this home in Atlanta. And the really scary thing is his wife and his kid were there. So this how it went down, Scotty. It was 11:50. This happened on June 19th, so just a couple days ago. 11:50 at night. And his wife, Sandy, heard some noise downstairs. Heard some things thumping around and bumping around. And so she ran in and got her son, Vince and her son. And they ran into the closet and shut the closet, called 911. And police arrived, and they found the front window broken out. They found about $16,000 of cash laying out in front of the window, and they could see that these guys came in, and they just ransacked the house. Now, the crazy thing is that $16,000 that was on the front yard was a part of about $100,000 that this guy got away with. And on his way out, just kind of lost It's exactly $16,100 in 100 bills that was scattered outside of the home.
Why are you got $100,000 in cash in your house? Like, even if you're like super crazy rich, like, I don't know, man. Stuffing $100 bills underneath the mattress doesn't seem like a wise investment.
It doesn't. It makes me feel like it's an inside job. I know guys like Vince Carter are always a target for theft. What really makes me sick is you've got an amazing woman and you got a young child that's in that house.
Yeah.
And it disgusts me that somebody would do that, regardless if there's anybody in it, but the fact that there's somebody in there. But, you know, it puts a big target over you.
Yeah.
Here's the other really disturbing thing. These guys, on their way out, dropped a Desert Eagle, which is one of the biggest handgun. It's that, you know, it's a hand, basically it's a hand cannon. Dropped a Desert Eagle that belonged to Vince Carter and a Glock 26 with an extended clip that they suspect belonged to the thief. So Vince Carter's Desert Eagle and a gun with an extended clip, both outside of this window. One belonging to Vince, the other one belonging to the
parent. Yeah.
This guy had potentially had bad
intentions. Yeah, it's had intentions. Bad intentions. Yep.
And so, you know, you think your lucky stars that his wife, Sandy, is alive and okay, and his kid's alive and okay. But stuff like this freaks me out.
Yeah. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
All right, we've referenced it throughout the show today, and just really, really sad story. NFL legend Tony Siragusa has passed away at the age of 55. 6'3", 340-pound defensive tackle, initially broke into the NFL with the Indianapolis Colts as an undrafted free agent in 1990, became a full starter by the 92 season, signed with the Ravens in 97, went on to be a huge part of that Super Bowl team that in 2000. But just overall, just a really, really sad story. There's been two guys that I think made Ray Lewis. Tony Siragusa and then Haloti Ngata. Those were the two guys that let Ray Lewis roam sideline to sideline and just wreak havoc across the NBA or NFL, excuse me.
That's a great point. Those two made it a lot easier for Ray Lewis to do what he does so well. I think that Tony Siragusa is just a larger-than-life personality. And I think he was a huge contributor to the NFL's success in the early 2000s and even in the mid-1990s. I know that by the time I got to the Indianapolis Colts, Scotty, he was a folk hero there.
Like, yeah.
Guys talked about stories about that guy all the time. And I think he might have left the Colts, what, 1993 or something?
I think it was 97.
97?
Yeah.
So 3 years before I got there, and he was a fan favorite. He was a front office favorite. People love Tony Siragusa. I don't know if I've ever met somebody that doesn't love Tony Siragusa.
Well, the great thing about him is when you watch him and you hear him talk and you see how he, you know, his personality, he's really relatable. Like, we see these NFL athletes that look like Aaron Donald, and you're like, nothing of me relates to that guy. But Tony Siragusa, you see him, and you don't realize the dude can bench press a Cadillac. And you know, but he just looks like a dude you could just hang out and have a beverage with and eat a pizza with.
A Vince Wilfork type.
Yeah, exactly. Vince fits that mold as well. Like, a dude that you're like, okay, you know what?
He likes his barbecue. He likes a good Saturday night.
There's no abs on that dude.
Yeah,
you know,
cool air, a little bit of fire.
Aaron Donald, you see, and you're like, no, nope.
Aaron Donald's a different type.
Yeah, that's
animal.
A different human being.
Yeah,
you know, and so and by the way, when I say this, I'm not disrespecting the athletic ability of those guys. They just look more relatable than everybody else.
And their skill set was so unique, but so dominant. And that's a heartbreaking. It's a heartbreaking loss. And the Baltimore Ravens are dealing with big loss. They also lost pass rusher Jalen Ferguson, passed away at 26 years old. That was announced yesterday. I have not found any details surrounding either one of these deaths.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I did see details released that Tony Siragusa passed in his sleep.
Oh, I have not seen that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those blogging sites that feels more free to release information.
Yeah.
They did not say cause of death, but it did say that he passed in his sleep, which unless somebody's by you, I don't know how you would ever know that, but sad passing for Jalen Ferguson and for Tony Siragusa.
All right, 150, Hans Olsen, Scott Gerard. as we are live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. Come grab some Jazz gear, 4528 South State Street. Say hi. Let's go. Let's get you loaded up for the draft tonight. Remember, draft special begins at 3 with Unrivaled from JCW's in South Jordan, just off that 106 South exit, right across the street from Mulligan's. Go by. You've got Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, Ben Anderson, Jake Scott, Tim Lacombe. We've got it covered for you right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
I need to be satisfied externally only. I don't bring good vibes anywhere. I need to be.
Did all the flowers wilt when you walked by at Red Butte? Was it like the Pepe Le Pew?
Yep.
Sir, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
You killed the entire fragrance garden.
You're having a really significant impact on the roses, and we're a little famous for that, and it's kind of a crucial time in their development, if you could, you know.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
It is Whole World News right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All brought to you by Mortgage Mike and City Creek Mortgage. Go to citycreekmortgage.com or you call 801-900-HOME.
I love this story. This one's a good one.
Okay.
We're going to Florida. You know, anytime we go to Florida, we're probably talking about drugs.
Yep.
So this guy is 41 years old. His name's Jerome. Yeah. His name's Thomas Kolke. He's 41 years old. Scotty, he decided to call 911 because he had a serious issue on his hands. This is coming from one of the deputies that was called. He said, yes, he called, said that he was an experienced drug user, having used methamphetamine in the past, and knew what good meth should feel like. He called 911 because the meth he just ingested felt like bath salts.
Oh, really?
And not meth. So he called 911 because he knows they've got test kits. All the officers carry like a drug test kit. And he said, can you please send an officer out here? I want this meth tested. This is not meth. This is bath salts. I know what good meth is like, and this is not good meth. Well, officers came out. Evidently, the substance Kolke had recently purchased did not provide the expected sensation. But, Scotty, it was, in fact, pure meth. It just hit him different. So they dispatched their officers. Officers came out. They were like, hey, Mr. Kolke, we're just here to check your meth. He handed it over. They checked it. It popped and showed that it was pure meth. And they said, all right, do you have any more in the house? He said, yeah, I've got this whole batch. They threw the handcuffs on him, took the meth, and took him down to the police station.
What? Hey, kids, drugs are bad, okay?
What is this? So they're driving along, and the officers were like looking at him like, so you just called and wanted your meth checked? Like, what are you thinking? And he said, I'll be honest with you, officers. I thought that there was somebody out there selling stuff that it might hurt somebody.
Oh, he was doing it for the kids.
Yeah. He said, I thought that there might be somebody out there selling stuff that might, not that meth would hurt anybody.
No. Pure meth, very organic, very good for you. You don't want to get the bad stuff.
So he tells them that he was trying to do a service to the community, getting this drug dealer, his name was JJ. He had the drug dealer's name and everything. He said, we need to get JJ off the street because he's selling the bad stuff.
JJ's over there. Like,
wait, so he gave up his dealer?
I gave you good stuff. Yeah, that's not going to go.
Yeah,
well,
he gave up his dealer fast.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, the trip he got off the meth just was not.
Wasn't getting it done.
And I guess he
That's
paid.
Another sign you've probably taken too much meth.
Yeah, right. When meth stops being effective on you.
Yeah.
You know that. You've probably ingested too much meth. It's just weird to me that somebody would be so out of their mind, so disconnected, that they could call a police officer and be like, could you bring your test kit out here?
I've got some bad meth.
Make sure this is the real stuff.
And what if they did find it was bath salts? He's like, all right, you go get JJ. You throw him in jail. Can't be out there issuing bad meth.
Yeah, even if it's bath salts, don't they still lock you up, don't they?
I would think so.
Take you down to process you? It's just ridiculous, man.
About 30 minutes away from David Locke joining the program, we'll chat with him about tonight's NBA draft. We'll also chat a lot of, as we get you ready for that NBA draft, what tonight could look like. Still, hands? I don't know. It's been the last, I haven't checked Twitter in the last 5 or 10 minutes. All still quiet?
Nothing going, man. I've been watching. Nothing going.
We're ready. We're waiting. We're hoping.
It's kind of weird, isn't it? I don't know. There's so much speculation that the Jazz are going to look so much different. So completely different.
Yeah.
That if it was going to happen that way, you know, when we went through the probably or
not likely,
doubt it.
Or doubt it, yeah.
With Ben, if we're looking at getting rid of that much talent and rebuilding that much roster.
It begins tonight.
It begins tonight. I thought it would have been started earlier today.
Yeah. But
boy, we could be in for the purge during the draft. It might just be puking out old Jazz players.
This roster really gets turned upside down.
It could.
Yeah.
And it's not just Ben, it's a lot. And I'm excited we get to talk to David at 2:30 because I think even David's kind of at the belief that we're not moving forward with this crew.
Yeah. By the way, before we go to break, my wife sent in a – did you see the banana scale that she sent? Of doneness and where your quality of banana is at that point. So
– wait a second. I don't understand.
So, like what number – the banana you tweeted out was probably, what, a 13?
Oh, yeah, 13 or 14.
Yeah, and that's where you like it.
Yes.
See, I'm like in the 7, maybe 8, 9 range.
Nope, that still makes my mouth itch. My mouth will itch until number 11 or 12.
So it's not necessarily preference. It's just about making sure that your mouth doesn't get all flamed up.
Well, yeah, and I actually kind of like that more ripe, flat banana-y taste and not the tang of a...
You don't want your banana to bite back either.
I don't like that underripe banana. I like when you go to pop the top to peel it, and it just kind of mushes off, not the crack and then the peel and pull.
Yeah.
Like, I like it to be pretty mushy. I thought most people did. I thought most people kind of liked an overripe banana, but there's a lot of rude comments coming in on the tweet I sent. I might delete it.
Yeah, when you get your when people are evaluating your banana like that and really determining its quality, and it's going the wrong way, I can understand why you'd be a little salty about that.
I did not expect people to go at your banana like that.
I'm the only one that should be worried about the ripeness of the banana I enjoy.
It is. I mean, look, you know, at the end of the day, it's your banana. You like it the way you like it.
And I like it like this.
All right.
Yeah, but put it out there for opinions. You want people's opinions on it, don't you? You put it out there for it.
Well, I've got 28 responses on it, and not a single one of them is nice or positive.
Oh, mine wasn't bad. I even put a nice little picture.
Former punter Johnny Linehan weighed in, and he said, bro, that thing in a smoothie is pure chef's kiss. But most people are saying... It's ready for banana bread, but that is, like, disgusting to eat raw or to just eat whole like that. And I just couldn't disagree more. Sometimes I get so bugged by people's opinions, I just delete it because it's annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I'm muting the guy that's his name is this guy. I'm muting.
I mean, it's like a poll. If it doesn't go the way you think it's going to go or the way you want it to go, you just get rid of it.
Yeah. Done.
Polls are no longer fun, basically.
Polls aren't fun when they don't go your way.
That's for sure.
All right. Coming up next, we'll kick off your 2 o'clock hour. David Locke's at 2:30. We might even sneak in a little sports roulette coming up next. Hands and Scotty right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.